RadioInfluence.com.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the last episode of the Dark to Light podcast with
Heat Miser, frankly.
And Helga slash Viviana.
And Beans for 2018. The year is coming to a close. Monday night is the last night of 2018. And what a year it's been, right, Frank?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has been. It's been very eventful from start to finish.
Literally. So I started doing like work to put together kind of like a top show for which everybody does, but whatever, for today. And I started doing a timeline, and like my January timeline had like 50 entries just from January of 2018.
Well, I mean, it didn't slow down from there. That's for damn sure.
No. And there were some major, major world events this year, like major ones. And a lot of interesting pop culture trends that Helga slash Viviana will talk about a little bit today.
Yes, Fortnite, Walmart Yodeling Boy, what else? Yanny slash Laurel, which I still think is Yanny.
What did you think it was again, Frank?
I to be honest, I didn't even pay attention to it. I just know that the two words have absolutely no similarities, to a point where I would not even spend time trying to see how somebody would see that they're similar in any way.
Well, you did, though, on this show, on this very show.
Yeah, that might be the only time I listened to it. What is it? I mean, what was the original word in question?
It's depending on, like, this frequency, whatever frequency this word is played at, everybody hears it differently.
Which I never heard Laurel.
I do.
I always heard Yanny because I don't know why. But I remember watching some videos on YouTube about, and this can, like, sometimes YouTube videos aren't always true, but I heard, like, if your ears are, like, young or something, then you'll hear Yanny. And if your ears are, like, old, you'll hear Laurel. But I don't really know. I always hear Yanny. I've never heard Laurel, so.
I don't know. I guess I never listened to it in the proper frequency.
You know, I mean, this is one of the biggest social media trends of 2000. This was the blue dress of 2018, and you have no opinion on it.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I kind of feel like I'm better for it because there's enough that's been screwing with me to have to jump into that pool. But I will not deny how big of a story it was. I mean, it was everywhere, and you know, so it kind of gave me some cover to go do other things.
You want to hear something crazy? I'm going to tell a crazy story.
Yeah, go ahead.
When we have an induction cooker plate thing. Do you know what that is?
No.
So it's basically, it's like this plate that cooks with a magnet, and like you can adjust the temperature on it perfectly, and it uses magnets to heat, right? It's really good. So you put, you know, your plate, you put your pot or your pan or whatever on there, and you set it, and it's very precise and it's easy to cook with. It's induction cooking. And apparently this thing, like, so we're using it, my husband and I, and everything's fine. And then my son and my daughter come walking, like, maybe, I don't know, 15 feet away. And they both, like, take their hands and smack them up next to their ears. Like, they're hearing something, like, painful.
Yeah, we were, okay, so here's the story. We were in my room because I had a project due, and we were just working on the project. And my dad was cooking, like, pasta or something. And so me and my brother, we were going in the kitchen because we were just finishing up my project. And so we go into the kitchen, and there's a couch next to the wall leading into the kitchen. So there's, like, a little gap, and literally me and my brother couldn't pass it without, like, having to, like, cover our ears. And it was so bad that even with covering our ears, we couldn't really go past the wall because it just hurt our heads so bad. And literally, we were, like, my mom and dad were, they were looking at us like we were crazy. And we were both like, we hear this, you don't hear it? And they were both like, no, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And we were just like, there's like the loudest noise and it's hurting our like ears.
They could hear some frequency, like a dog whistle that we couldn't hear coming from this induction cooker.
It was like a screech. Like, you, I can't explain it without you hearing it because you didn't hear it, but like, it hurt so bad.
It sounds like the, like I said, that sounds like the, that device that my mother has in her garage to keep all the raccoon away.
It's a child, it's a child repellent. If anybody wants to pick one up, it's...
That's great.
You have a kid that annoys you a lot, go pick a cooker up and you can make them go away for a minute.
I'll put a cooker in every room except the basement. So they all flee down to the basement and they stay there quiet and they do their thing.
The basement.
And then you turn off all the alarms for dinner time so that they feel safe to emerge from the basement. And everybody, and then the house is quiet again. Then all the children go back into the basement and they play board games and they just take care of themselves.
Well, we're going to put Viviana in the basement for a few minutes while we talk about news.
Go take out the old battleship game. Have some fun with your brother.
Look, those games are coming back. I got we got Guess Who as a gift. That's the funnest game ever.
I gave Clue as a gift this year.
That's good too. How was your Christmas, by the way?
It was pretty good. Yeah, you know, it was nice and serene. That's all I care about now. It was nice because Lauren's family did Christmas early on the 22nd, on Saturday the 22nd. So when Christmas Eve came around, there was only two places to go. And on Christmas Day, there was only two places to go. So the days were split evenly without having to try to find a way to put in a third or a fourth visit anywhere. It was just fine. I liked it.
Yeah, I like not having to travel anywhere on Christmas Eve and stuff. It's a pain to split between places, and a lot of people have to do that. Like dessert here and dinner here.
We don't have a big enough place to host, so we have to go where the houses are, you know?
Understood. What'd you get? Anything good? I know you went over this on your show, but...
Oh, I got some shoes, which was good because I needed three new pairs of shoes. One of them is snow boots that are actually waterproof. So whenever the February blizzards show up over here in New York, because that's when we get all of our snow the last couple of years, I'll be prepared with that. And what else? I got a long coat. That was nice. So whenever I go someplace that's snazzy, I have something to wear. And then
books.
I got a great David Lynch book. I got a book on Stanley Kubrick. I got the latest Mark Levin book that I have not been able to pick up on my own. A buddy of mine got it for me signed.
Wow.
So I got that. And I also got another. What was the other book? Oh, Matt got me a book on greatest American speeches. So pretty much it starts from George Washington's inaugural address and it goes all the way up to I forgot what. And it's just inauguration speeches and 4th of July speeches and special commemorations. But I have to look into a little bit more. There's just a lot of FDR in there.
Yeah.
Not one Coolidge speech. He's a very eloquent speaker and writer. So we'll see what's get pushed around.
I feel bad. It's like people just skip over him like he never existed.
Oh, there's a lot of people that I skipped over in that. There's Lyndon Johnson and everybody else is in there. I'm like, eh. Who cares?
But that's a great book to have. How big is it?
Oh, it's, I don't know. Maybe about, I don't know. It's maybe about 400 pages or so.
Is it like, it seems like
it's a hardcover book. It's nice.
Oh, that's great. You know what I got right now that I'm sitting in?
What? New chair?
A new chair.
I have the old one.
She's sitting in.
Does it have lumbar support?
It does. It does.
It's got to support that lumbar.
I do have to support my lumbar, and it's really comfortable. It's really comfortable. It's beautiful.
I need a couple of new chairs myself. What else did you get?
I got, what else did I get?
Jewelry painting thing.
Oh, yeah. I do these, like, when I listen to, like, my podcasts and my audiobooks and learn things, I do these diamond painting things.
Okay.
And I got some of those. They're like all these little diamonds that you put on this canvas with, like, it's almost like there's, you know, there's a symbol that corresponds to each color, but there's like 40 different colors. And it's really very precise, sort of tedious work. But it like calms me down, and I learn a lot because you don't have to focus too much, and I can listen to whatever and do something while I'm listening.
Yeah, and she made it easier because she got a light and she couldn't even see the numbers.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm old, so. And yeah, I just, what else? I got some good stuff. I got, you know, normal Christmassy things. My mom got me some candy thing or something. We don't know what it is, but it says beans on it with a Z.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want to open it so bad, but they're like, they won't open it.
No, I'm not opening it.
And I want her to open it.
I won't. I refuse.
Why?
Just because.
You never know.
It's got to be sanctified.
Got to be blessed.
Yeah.
I got decorations for Christmas.
Yeah, she got.
We got a lot of good stuff.
My mom bought her a sign that says Helga's Farm.
Yep. 2020. It has a goat. Yep.
And that's that.
Well, hey, you know, another Christmas has come and gone, and what are we going to do? Just going to be a new day.
That's crazy. This year has gone by so fast.
Yeah, it has.
Starting in January of 2018, actually, we had Saudi Arabia. The princes were held up in the Ritz-Carlton. The kind of regime change happened over there in mid-January. Trump's State of the Union, where we had all that, you know, craziness with the people walking out. Who was that guy that walked out in the middle of the speech because he started talking about Americans? And I don't remember. It was like some congressperson that just stormed out of there.
I don't know. I forget. I actually forget that was this year, the State of the Union.
Yeah, it was in January. Me and you did that show.
I know. It's nuts because it's... It feels like it was 4 years ago already.
I know it does.
Every 3 months feels like a year now.
It's crazy. It really is. Like, just my January list. I subsectioned it out for this. Steve Bannon and Trump got into that big row in January where Bannon said the Trump Tower meeting was treasonous.
Yeah, it was also the year of the books. Everybody had it. Everybody tried to take down the president with their stupid books from Bob Woodward and what was this? Michael Wolff and, oh my, Omarosa. Everybody with their books was so stupid. Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Like, there was the Me Too movement this year. Was, you know, Me Too, everybody too, even, you know, no matter what.
Yeah, that was funny.
We had Weinstein go down on indictments and...
Kind of.
Sort of. He's kind of getting out of them now, right? I mean, some of them at least.
Yeah, I can't, you know, but then again, I can believe it. So we'll see.
And then we had Kevin Spacey. That was a big story this year.
Mm-hmm.
He came out as...
Yeah, he just popped up again.
You know, what do you think? Did you watch that by chance?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think about that?
I have mixed feelings about it. First of all, you know, there's the hardline stance is the predatory nature of these people, and that, especially in that industry, there's no two ways about that. There's no two ways to rationalize that and condone that. It's just gross and disgusting. But then again, it's one of those environments that you're kind of nurtured in, and it's beaten into you. And anybody that we're looking down the our noses at have probably first been victims themselves. So you have to keep all these things in mind while condemning the grossness of it all. But on the other hand, before all of this stuff with Kevin Spacey, I was a big fan of his career. I love the roles he's played. I love the movies he was in. He was one of my favorite actors. So to balance, it doesn't take away the fact that he's got tremendous chops, you know, and for him to slip into that character, that Frank Underwood character, which I love, for him to slip into it as being the first time that anybody has seen or heard anything from him since the Anthony Rapp thing happened, and for it to come out right around the time that he gets indicted or charged on something else is really interesting. Because why? You ask yourself, why is he doing this? He's obviously, it's been The House of Cards has been concluded without him. I still have not seen the last season. Lauren and I, we kind of fizzled out with it when he didn't come back, even though he's, you know, he didn't come back for a pretty decent reason. He lost the role. But on the other hand, I'm saying to myself, Frank Underwood is a deplorable, horrible character. The Underwoods are pretty much based on the Clintons, and it's, and House of Cards, if you haven't seen it, it is, I don't see how else Washington, D.C. is actually even run. How else it could be run aside from the way that it is portrayed in House of Cards. It's really something just to watch and to consider and to observe. So for it, for them to go all that time and then for the last season to go without Frank Underwood, because in real life he was you know, sexually assaulting people, when in the thing itself, he's just a vile character. You don't really ever root for him. Like with the Sopranos, yeah. you felt this kinship and you were rooting for Tony Soprano, who is a sociopath murderer. Okay. But you felt something for him, and you know, you can see there's a struggle inside of him, and it was a life that was given to him that he, you know, he just kind of accepted, and it's torn himself apart. He's got all the anxiety issues and all that shit. And then of course you have Frank Underwood, who you never really get that close to. He's a prickly, awful character, but you're just intrigued by him. You know, for somebody that could live inside of that world of lies and deceit and just stay in there and burrow themselves in and just really almost enjoys the fight. And I just didn't understand why Netflix, with the political leanings as a company as that they have, didn't give him the last season, just because he's going to either die or be arrested or hung for treason or something. It's not like we're going to be rooting for him anyway. Just finish the damn thing off. But since they finished it without him, no matter what, it makes me wonder why he did that video. 3 minutes. And a lot of people have been saying, and I give them a lot of credence for this point of view, that it almost sounds like a warning shot across the bow that if I'm going to go down for this shit, I'm taking people with me.
Yeah.
That kind of intrigued me.
I agree with you on that. Why did they not let him finish the season? Because he sexually assaulted a child? I don't know. Maybe that's why. I just think that that's kind of like fireworthy, a lot more fireworthy than freaking Roseanne's faux pas was.
Then again, Netflix as a company, I mean, what are they trying to hide from? It's the whole damn thing.
I guess, but I mean, I don't understand what the benefit of letting him can. I don't know. Well,
Then let me just put an addendum on that. It's either you let him finish or you just let it all go. I don't. What are you going to put a bow on it? What are you going to put a bow on it without the main character?
They've done the same thing over and over. They try to get rid of the main character and think that everybody's going to continue to watch.
Just let it go. They should have just let it go, then try to finish it without him.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch the show, so I can't really speak to that.
Oh, I would tell you, Tracy, if you can just watch the first two or three seasons, my God.
How many seasons are there?
I think there's six or so, but the first two seasons are like mandatory watching. Trust me, you're not going to sit there going, oh, man, I really kind of like Kevin Spacey. No, you're going to be sickened by these characters, but it's going to make so much sense. About what we've been able to watch since then.
I gotta find out, like, you know what I'm gonna start doing is researching who gave them the information, who they talked to, you know.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, you know, that stuff. Did you end up watching? Did you watch Blacklist?
No. I don't watch a lot of stuff. I don't.
I know, but there are certain shows that you just have to watch. Man,
I'll try to jump into it. I fall into things without expecting it sometimes. My True Detective, that's one of those things I've been suggested to watch for years, and then finally one day I was like, Lauren, you want to just watch the first episode of True Detective with me, and then we finished the whole season in 2 days. So it's just one of those things that I'm sure Blacklist will be something I watch in 2024, and I'll love it, and I'll thank you for suggesting it.
Yeah, well, great. 2024 then.
We'll have a great conversation in 2024.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I'll forget half of the show by then. What else did we have? We had, obviously, Roseanne Barr. We had Melania Trump going down to the border wearing the I don't care anymore or whatever, I really don't care to you jacket.
Yeah.
Good about the fake news. We had Maxine Waters calling for people to find people at gasoline stations. Whoever says that anymore. That's one of the things that bothered me. Like, who says that? Find them at a gasoline station.
These people do.
Ugh.
I mean, they're peaceful and they're loving and they're tolerant. And they're, I mean, if you want to live in a country where everybody has equal rights and everybody is exalted for their uniqueness, wouldn't you want these people at the helm? Come on. Wouldn't you want Maxine Waters assaulting people at gas stations for your equal rights? Wouldn't you want that?
Yes, yes, because nothing says equal rights like beating the crap out of somebody trying to eat a meal or get gas in their car.
Yeah, nothing says equal rights like pitchforks in restaurants.
You know, somebody said something on Twitter yesterday, and in case you guys haven't noticed, we're kind of flying through the show today very willy-nilly because it's the last show of the year, and it's fun to hang out with you guys, right? Somebody said something yesterday on Twitter that really irked me. Let's talk about it because it irked me a lot. Mm-hmm. He said... I'm going to read it if I can get there, because I retweeted it with my explanation. Have you noticed that when some poor bugger is caught claiming a few dollars in welfare that perhaps they don't qualify for, they're condemned as vile criminals. But when the super wealthy avoid millions of dollars in taxes, they're revered as gifted business people?
Who is this? Ocasio-Cortez?
This is Michael Corrin.
Can you read the first part of that pile of vomit?
Isn't it horrible? Have you noticed that when some poor bugger is caught claiming a few dollars in welfare that perhaps he doesn't qualify for?
Why? Now, stop right there. Why would he not qualify? Why would the poor bugger not qualify for the welfare?
He wasn't poor enough, Frank.
Was he not poor enough, or was he not a citizen? What please give us the context of the proverbial poor buggers that we have all around the country who are taking what may not be coming to them. And then what's the second half?
The second half is they're condemned as vile criminals when they steal welfare, right? Mm-hmm. But when the super wealthy, those evil people, avoid millions of dollars in taxes, they're revered as gifted business people?
Well, I don't revere them as gifted business people in that respect. I revere them as pragmatic people, somebody that I look up to because I, in my not super wealthy state, will do literally anything to pay as little taxes as possible.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you? I say there's a difference. The wealthy earned their money and the government is stealing it to give to another thief like the one you described in this ridiculous tweet.
And that is exactly what it is. Because of the super wealthy is why you even have welfare funds for people, for poor buggers to take from when they're not qualified to take it. It's the most insane thing in the world. You know what? I'm thinking about this before because I was watching I was reading a little bit of how these Democrat freshman renegades, they call it, the ones with the headscarves and the Ocasio-Cortez, the donkey faces and all that stuff. They're coming in and they're saying, we did not come to play. Well, what'd you come to do? Because Article 1, Section 8 only gives you a very, very short list of things you can do. So why don't you just stop with the Strong Woman Act? But the other thing that they do is they talk about this whole tax breaks things, and you have these companies that are doing this. And you know, Tracy, just like you said, it is their money. I think that these people actually believe that the government creates wealth, and they, in a weird way, gives this wealth to companies to work with to create jobs, and that some companies are taking money from the government when it's really just such a twisted scheme of stealing and giving special favors to some. In fact, that is why the American Revolution really kicked off. I know, you know, Lexington and Concord was because finally the British were coming for the guns. But the real reason was it wasn't a 3% tax on tea. It was protectionism. It was that only certain tea companies, only certain companies had these tariffs and taxes, and others were being given breaks. And it was this kind of protectionism that was really causing all of the riffraff. And for these people to be so outside of the understanding of what's going on to try to reduce this to corporate theft of government money is unbelievable.
Isn't it ridiculous? And I couldn't believe that he was like almost like giving a pass to the dude who's stealing the wealth. I mean, I don't think we should have it at all anyway. We don't have to get into the reasons why, you know, what incentive do you have to do anything if you could just take someone else's money that's already been stolen once?
Yeah, the corporate tax should be zero.
I mean, let's not get into this.
Federal taxes should be zero.
They should be zero. I mean, seriously, like you're stealing 40 to 50 cents of these people, maybe sometimes 60 cents of every dollar is being stolen from you before you're done.
And meanwhile, $22 trillion worth of debt. We're giving how many billions of dollars do we give to the rich, the elite in poor countries with all the financial aid? We have, and of course, the poor buggers of the world who come here and they take advantage of all the money that is not theirs to take. And it's really just sad. It's sad that we're being dangled this carrot in front of our face when things are obviously so wholly wrong.
I said to one guy who came at me, like back at me saying something, I said, the hate and envy of people with money is what stops you from having any money. Think about it for a day. Stop demonizing people who figured it out better than you. You aren't entitled to someone else's widget just because they figured out how to get it faster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, snap. Roasted.
Roasted.
No, that's what we're dealing with right here. A bunch of people who have been made comfortable. They have been made comfortable with their lot in life. They said, okay, well, this is where I am. This is where I'm going to be. And it's because somebody else had it better than me. And that is it. So from their position, there is no more need to dig and scratch and claw and dig and hustle. Because all you need to do is align yourself with a bull, with a donkey face like Ocasio-Cortez, and she'll go fight for your pay raise. She'll fight for your pay raise. You don't do anything. Sit and align yourself with your favorite donkey face, and they'll go kicking around in Washington until somebody else has a gun put to their head. That's exactly what this is all about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, not doing anything. Why bother? Why bother doing anything if you're look at Atlas Shrugged. That's all.
Yeah.
So there's In my quest to kind of do this roundup, I used the Google search function. I wanted to see Google's top stories, right? I mean, when I tell you, if I'm just going to read down the headlines, like I went to Google, hold on, and I went to, I went to Google and I went to top, I just typed in the word Trump. That's all I typed in. And I filtered the searches for all search history in a custom range from 1/1/2018 to 1/31/2018, and it pulled up all, you know, these stories. I want to read Trump's first year marked by government shutdown, not celebration. 55 minutes at the table. Trump tries to negotiate and prove stability. Trump breaks with Bannon, saying he's lost his mind. Donald Trump finishes undergoing the medical exam. Do you remember this?
I love what he says to Paul. He's, wait, what was the clean bill? Not only was it the clean bill of health, I think when he came out, he said, I'm probably the healthiest president there's ever been.
Yeah, you know, Trump, I'm the healthiest there has ever been. I'm healthier than healthy.
Oh, that made my day. It's like they went from saying he's ill, there's something wrong. He drinks too much Diet Coke. And then, of course, the doctor says he's the healthiest man I've ever examined in my life. And then they say, the doctor's a bastard. The doctor's not real.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this doctor, this highly credible military doctor is some crazy person. There's, you know, Donald Trump is on the verge of a heart attack. Donald Trump needs a psych evaluation. He even threw the psych evaluation in there for good measure, remember?
Yep. It's like, this man is the most sane man I've ever met in my life.
He's saner than everyone. He's saner than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also did the shithole comment in January.
But you see, that's another thing right there when you talk about enemy of the people. To say that it is very irresponsible to call the press the enemy of the people. Well, once again, you're playing a game right there by broad stroking the press.
Well, you never said that, you know.
Yeah, never said that. So you broad stroke the press just to be able to cover up the stink of your own shit. That's number one. Number two, when you have the story like the shithole story, which was something where in a closed door meeting with maybe like a handful of people that was in there, somehow somebody weaseled their way out, whispered into a friend's ear, who whispered into another friend's ear, who went and ran to the press, and the press ran that story around the world to try to get people, foreign dignitaries, everybody upset with the president. You're telling me that the utterance of a two-syllable word in a closed-door meeting, not a press conference, the utterance of a two-syllable word in a closed-door meeting was worthy of throwing that around the world to try to ruin the diplomatic relationships we might have? That was something that needed to be done, or something that the press wanted to do?
They wanted to.
Of course.
And listen, just if you read through, just reading through the headlines that the headlines that are on here, they're all, every single one is anti-Trump. I mean, literally, it's almost impossible to get what really happened. It is impossible to get what really happened. I've been trying. Same thing with anyone aligned with him, like Nunez. I did a Nunez experiment as well. Ethics claims compromised by Russians, you know, because the memo started festering in January of 2018. We're never going to get through to even February at this rate.
Mm-hmm. Russians?
Russians.
Wow. Helga's going to be very mad.
I'm serious. Russia was probably the most talked about country again this year.
Fun. Helga's going to be excited about that. Helga's going to be the number one Russian soon.
I think I got to talk to a Russian. I have to get somebody.
You got a Frenchman, so you.
I got a Frenchman calling in tonight to my show. I want to talk about Europe, and I want to talk about aliens. I want to talk about space tonight. I'm totally burned out with American politics. It's so boring.
Speaking about space, what do you think? Did you probably didn't see it. The glow.
There was, I don't know if I did see it. When I heard what was going on, I tried to get the best view of the sky as I can. And there were, it might have just been local, some of the cities, some of the towns and villages in between me and the boroughs that I saw glowing. But it was such a brilliant blue light that maybe if I was at the top of the studio on the roof where we usually go to watch all of the fireworks on 4th of July, I would have certainly seen it. I didn't have enough altitude.
Were you there in the studio when it happened?
Well, it happened at 9:15, right?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I had just gotten off the air at 9. So by 9:15, me, Anthony, and Mike probably went. We were at Rob's house chilling out afterwards. We usually go swing by there after the show on Thursday night for a little bit.
So I was like very doubtful of this over 30-second long explosion that just basically looked like automatically the meme started coming in. I think 2018 was also the year of the meme. Would you agree?
We would have to do a meme review because there was nothing like the memes of 2016.
This is true.
So we would have to do a meme review to objectively say yes or no.
I just feel like this year's memes were damn good.
A lot of fun ones.
Oh, yeah. Tons of them. So they people threw an alien over it dancing and, you know, all that stuff. Like, this is what the government doesn't want you to see.
doing Fortnite dances.
Doing Fortnite. Yeah. We're going to get to pop culture in just a minute, Viviana. I mean, Helga, whatever you want to be called.
Viviana.
Yeah. But, that was pretty crazy happening. That's random. Like, it was a Con Ed substation, and somebody happened to be living there. I mean, right next door, and I saw the explosion. So there definitely was an explosion there. But it burned out. It burned for like 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds. That's a minute.
And it encompassed the entire city.
Yeah.
The light that was given off. I just don't. I don't know. I've seen ball lightning before. Well, not in person, but I've been able to watch video, watch ball lightning travel from one person's backyard to the other. It just like floats in. And I would have to, you know, that is without technology going wrong or a transformer blowing up or whatever like that. If you go back 500 years and you're hanging around and you see ball lightning, this little blue orb of electricity, yeah, that's just floating around almost on the ground level. You're telling me that people aren't going to believe they just saw some kind of a deity?
You know? No, really. I mean, I know. And ball lightning is scary. Like, it is.
Nuts.
It is.
Yeah, when I saw that, I said, all right, I grabbed all of the tweets I could, all of the video I could, and I will see. We'll see what people are saying, but it's not the half of it. Oh, also, you know, speaking about space and all that stuff, just came out again today. Remember the space station. Remember the hole, talking about the space and talking about Russia, that hole that was drilled into the side of the Russian end of the space station. Another headline just came out today. Just again today, Russian cosmonaut insists that the mysterious hole in the ISS was drilled from the inside of the space station.
How is that possible?
I don't know. It could only be one thing, sabotage. Because it's one thing if you're drilling something on the inside of the space station, you're crafting something and you slip and you might scuff the wall.
Yeah, you don't drill through. Besides which, what about the oxygen escape?
Exactly. Now, it was a small.
Wait a second. Bubble. Is there oxygen on the space station?
I mean, you have to. You'd have to have oxygen. Yeah.
They're not in their spacesuits all the time?
No.
Oh, no, they do. They take their helmets off. Yeah.
They're able to float around on the inside.
Wow. So
it's odd because that's the story that keeps popping up, and we keep getting resurrections of that story, but nothing ever comes around to it. And the scary thing about it is there's only really one conclusion.
Somebody is
Who could it have been?
Who infiltrated the Russian astronaut team to drill that and is sitting there still on the space station with them?
Maybe. I mean, I think at this point, it's like maybe five months ago. I'm sure that they've changed crews since then. I just don't know. I don't know.
Wow, that's
just
weird.
Just putting that out there. That was this year as well.
Yeah, and there was also there was a lot of weird stuff that happened this year. We had, oh gosh, what was I going to say? Darn it.
Space Force, maybe?
Space Force. There was there was a lot of odd stuff that happened this year in terms of, I was going to talk about the diplomats that are being kind of sound poisoned or whatever.
Yeah.
In all different countries. We had that, the State Department focusing on that. We had some stuff go down on Antarctica this year.
Yes. Yes, we had a couple of mysterious deaths there just maybe 2 weeks ago as well.
And
go ahead.
No. Sorry. The fact that you said deaths brings me to like another thing for this year. How many celebrity deaths there were? There was Bourdain. There was Kate Spade. There was the guy from Korn and not Korn. What's his name? That everybody said was looking into the pedophile stuff.
Bennington?
Yeah.
Bennington and Chris Cornell?
Yes.
That was last year.
It was?
Yeah, I thought we celebrated 1 year anniversary of the death. Well, not okay. Celebrated, but we marked the 1 year anniversary of the death earlier on in the year. I think that was 2017, those two.
You're right. It was. Both of the Bushes this year, McCain.
Yep.
Burt Reynolds died.
Oh, wow. I forgot about Bert.
Yeah. Who else is there? There were a lot of people that passed away in famous land this year.
Stan Lee.
Yeah. Very good, Viv.
Well, we had North Korea.
We had North Korea denuclearization after the first quarter of the Rocket Man and Stable Genius tweets.
Stable Genius is amazing. Rocket Man, that was awesome. Just great, great playing there. And whatever was going on behind the scenes was just so perfectly orchestrated with that. And of course, that came a month and a half after NBC and CNN and all those losers were applauding what was what amounted to, in their eyes, a diplomatic victory at the very
Olympics.
Nobody watched the Olympics, but they needed to make some. Oh, wow. Look, North Korea, they're sitting right next to Pence. And oh, they definitely won. This is a diplomatic dance and they have won. And then, of course, a month and a half later, when Trump is striking a historic peace deal. Then it's all right. He's a dictator now. What is he doing? He fits right in with these dictators. I just want to wring people's necks.
I think we all wanted to wring a lot of people's necks this year. It was the year of I wish I could say the year of fake news, but I mean, it's been the year of fake news for 3 years now. And you know what the worst or best thing is? I'm looking at the top U.S. searches of 2018 on Google for the year. The top search was the World Cup. The second one was Hurricane Florence. The third one was Mac Miller, then Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain, Black Panther, Mega Millions results, Stan Lee, Demi Lovato. No politics on there at all.
Except for number 20.
Well, number 20 is election results, but that's not the top 10. I mean, you'd think...
Speaking of election results, what the hell's going on with
Doug Jones and Roy Moore?
No. Oh, well, Doug Jones and Jones and Roy Moore. That was gut wrenching for sure. But what the hell happened with the DHS report on election fraud?
I haven't seen that yet, Frank.
Wasn't that supposed to be what? The 28th today?
Oh.
Or the 22nd? What the these dates keep floating in and out. And
well, did you hear what's going on though with Doug Jones and Roy Moore?
What?
You haven't heard. Okay. So there basically was this firm that decided they were going to take the supposed Russian influence campaign that was used for the 2016 presidential election, and they were going to use it for the Doug Jones and Roy Moore election, and they did.
Wait, say this over again.
So there was a firm that said they wanted to see if they could duplicate. This firm was one of the people that put out the report on Russian influence in the 2016 election in terms of social media.
Okay.
They put out the report. They wanted to see if they could duplicate the results of what happened or make them better. So they implemented the tactics that they said the Russians implemented in the Doug Jones Roy Moore race, and it came out
that so they admitted to having
interfered,
influenced that race.
Yes, and now Doug Jones is actually calling for an investigation into it.
When the hell did this break?
Two days ago, 3 days ago.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
Wow.
Doug Jones or Roy Moore, Russia. Roy Moore, Russian or influence. I'll put that in there.
All I got to say is this. Search engine manipulation effect. Search engine manipulation effect. You go check that out. It is a real thing. It is the end of pretty much representative government as we know it. That's just pretty much.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it's propaganda 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right?
Yeah. Well, you have to look at the effectiveness of search engine manipulation effect. Like just being able to control what is bouncing back from certain searches, especially on political issues, it can affect the voter turnout by over 60% in certain demographics, and even well over 60% in certain instances, where you can change the outlook on an issue or a candidate within certain demographics for an upcoming election, just based on what is bouncing back on your search results.
Well, giving you an example of that in effect, that's not coming up anywhere. This stuff. New York Times was the original person who put out the original outlet that put the article out. It doesn't even come up. The only place it's coming up is on Twitter, and it was actually Reid Hoffman, who's the co-founder of LinkedIn, who funded this group that ran this misinformation campaign against Roy Moore in 2017. He provided funding for American Engagement Technologies, a firm led by former Obama administration official Mikey Dickerson. It was part of an effort to falsely portray Mr. Moore's campaign as being supported by the Russian government. And now the AG in Alabama is looking into this.
Jeez.
It's big. I think I'm going to do a piece on this today, actually. Because the only people talking about it are just a few people on Twitter. Molly Hemingway is talking about it, though.
My gosh. Well, hey, listen. Man, there's a lot.
There's a war on for your mind, Frank.
When you do that, include search engine manipulation effect.
Yeah, sure.
There's because it all ties in, especially if you want, if they're trying to test out whether or not this online tactic can be duplicated and used in different races and all that stuff to be able to affect the outcome of whatever, then 100%. Now, here's a little bit. I've seen even more damning evidence than this. Here's something from, what is it, December of 2017, done by Robert Epstein, American Institute for Behavioral Research, Ronald Robertson, Christo Wilson, and David Lazar. Here's the abstract. A recent series of experiments demonstrated that introducing ranking bias to election-related search engine results can have a strong and undetectable influence on the preference of undecided voters. This phenomenon, called the search engine manipulation effect, exerts influence largely through order effects that are enhanced in a digital context. We present data from these new experiments involving 3,600 subjects in 39 countries in which we replicate SEME and test design interventions for suppressing the effect. In the replication, voting preferences shifted by 39%, a number almost identical to the shift found in previously published experiments of 37%, alerting users to the ranking bias reduced the shift to 22%, and more detailed alerts reduced the shift to 13%. So even if you detail the alert that you're being manipulated, there's still a 13% sway on how you can get people to predict or pretty much perceive your choices in a political election.
That's scary.
Yeah, well, this is the low end. I've seen studies that say that you can go and micromanage certain demographics, whether it be by race or income level or level of education or whatever, and you can actually impact those by over 60%.
Wow.
You know?
Do you understand what that means, Viv?
Sure.
It means that the internet can make you change your opinion on a political candidate very easily.
Oh, yeah.
Even though, like, it's not, it's manipulation, yeah. It's not real.
Like the news, I've heard people in school, and, I'll say, oh, don't listen to the news, because they're all like, oh, did you see the news today? And I'll be like, don't listen to the news. And they'll be like, the news is correct, what do you mean? And I'm like, you're dumb.
See, I gotta keep going. We need to clone Viviana and Helga.
Yeah, well, I mean, the world needs some sense.
Really?
And you don't even have to do. You don't even have to go into the world with any kind of preconceived notions of anything, except believe none of what you hear and half of what you see.
Yeah.
Just think about that. Do your own research. Think. Ask questions. Keep thinking, and then think some more. And that's just it. No, don't let anybody give you, even if they claim to be conservative or whatever the hell it is, don't let anybody give you your opinions. Take everything with a grain of salt, because even somebody like me can deceive somebody just through my own ignorance on a subject.
Yeah. So yes. Yeah.
All you have to do is listen to the wrong person and get the wrong person's ideas, and then you're like that person.
Yes.
It's like a virus.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
You know, I just saw a Trump tweet. Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador are doing nothing for the United States but taking our money. Word is a new caravan's forming in Honduras, and they're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
We're cutting off aid to all three of these countries. They've been taking advantage of us for years.
Good.
I'm telling you something, Frank. 2019 is going to be some year.
It's going to be great. I'm excited for it, and, you know, especially with on that front right there. I'm excited that he's giving zero shits now.
Oh, he doesn't care anymore. It's you can see it. I'm telling you. Ask anybody if you get the opportunity to bump into somebody like anyone. that used to be on the administration or that is on the administration, just ask them if the deal is finished and watch the deal.
What does that mean?
Two years and it's over. Now he's unleashed.
Really?
Yep.
So the first 2 years he had to be well behaved.
My thought is that I think that they thought they'd be able to get rid of him in the first 2 years.
They were wrong.
Interesting. They tried everything. It wasn't just thinking that they can get rid of him. I believe it was more along the lines of a hoping with a reasonable expectation of what they would be able to achieve, because everything that happened in the first 2 years was nothing but a ploy for the midterms. And anything outside of influencing people going into the midterms was really just relegated to what Robert Mueller would be able to achieve in getting Trump to sit down with him and try to formulate some kind of a perjury trap. And he avoided that, and everything else was just, you know, eventually people start tuning it out. Obviously, we lost the House in November. That sucked. But then again, you see how the House was won.
I don't even believe that we lost the House. We did lose the House, but the way that people talk about it, like it was some blowout, I'm sorry, but like 30 of those elections were determined 2 weeks later after all kinds of shenanigans with voting. Look at California, Frank. California, I talked about it from that night, how it was red. All of these districts flipped. They were all final, you know, so this Republican won. And then all of a sudden, California just reversed all of those results.
Reagan County.
Yeah. You have the
whole Orange County. That was a Republican stronghold. But the ballot harvesting that was been going on. Now, that's just one thing there. You want to talk about pulling out all the stops and knowing how important it was for Democrats to take at least one House of Congress to be able to put the stops and the screws to some of these investigations that are going to turn up really, really embarrassing things for them and hopefully sooner than later. But that's what was going on there. You have to give them credit for being able to call an audible at the line and change up the play. And they went out there and they went door to door harvesting ballots from all the people who would have otherwise not shown up to the voting booths. And of course, Republicans relied on people being responsible for getting out on election day and voting. And when you tell somebody, hey, it's as easy as coming to your front door and somebody will pick up your ballot, I think that you're going to have a little bit more of a chance of turning up tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of new votes over the course of the week and a half that follows Election Day.
Not only that, but then you can't argue the census. You can't argue the immigration question on the census then.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and then not only that, but I think then the person collecting and harvesting those ballots should be responsible if they take a vote from an illegal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the big one there. That's the big one there. Well, where the hell are they all coming from? And what is the time limits? When should all these votes be in? And what are the state legislatures going to do about ballot harvesting and about the run-ups? Like Richard Barris, when he broke down what was going on in Arizona, how pretty much Democrats gave themselves 3 extra days of advance voting and Republicans didn't do or say anything about it, they pretty much owned the loss to Kyrsten Sinema.
Yeah, and that makes me laugh too, because they talk about voter ID and how it disenfranchises, you know, minorities from being able to vote. But yet they've got polls open in certain places and they don't tell people. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't that what happened? Like they had like polls open in certain towns and not in others. And
the canceling out of ballots because they weren't able to verify them with the signatures when they can't verify it. So they cancel out ballots altogether. They just erase them. They say we can't verify it, as if they're concerned about voter integrity when you don't even need. An ID, you don't even need a signature if you show up and you present an ID. So they want to be able to match signatures from year to year over the years. You know, this one looked a little bit too scribbly, but never do not even think about pulling that ID out of your wallet, even though you're going to need it for five other things that day that are not election related.
Yeah, I know. And you know, as long as we don't go to a national ID, I'm good with it.
No, you don't need a national ID. You just need to show I am who is voting for this person. You know, and that's just pretty much it. I am alive. This is my face. It's real. That's all it is. I don't want a national ID. This is not who the hell needs that? I mean, you don't need one. I keep every year, every election year, and every time somebody brings up voter ID laws, and they go into the whole racist spiel, which is really, really just racist in itself, because you talk about the soft bigotry of low expectations.
I know.
New York, I'm going to bring this up just for a second. New York non-driver ID. Here you go. Ready for this? This is in New York, and every state is different. New York non-driver ID, standard non-driver. If you're under the age of 62 and your next birthday is within the next 6 months, the driver ID is valid for 4 years and it costs $9. Under the age of 62 and your next birthday is more than 6 months away, it's valid for 8 years and it's $13. Now, if you're under the age of 62 and you receive Social Security, your non-driver ID, okay, is valid for 10 years. It is only $6.50. If you're 62 years or older, it is valid for 10 years and $6.50. And the last one, 62 years or older and receives Social Security, 10 years, and it is free. You're telling me that even somebody under the age of 62 can't dig up $9 every 4 years. That is the most racist thing I have ever heard in my life.
Not only that, but getting there, you know, they can't figure out how to use the bus. They can't walk. They can't take a cab. They don't drive. They have no, you know,
to internet. They don't have access to internet or running water. They haven't taken a shower in years. They still wear diapers.
Yeah.
What else you want to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know. You're right. You're right. Crazy.
Okay, so what else we have?
We have some stuff. I mean, there's a lot more to talk about, but we're at 57 minutes already. This we didn't even get through January.
That's the kind of craziness we've been dealing with.
What I want to do, though, is I really want to end this last show of the 2018 by talking about some of the things in our year, personally, if you want, that were really cool. And I have a couple myself, and I want you to go first. And then, Viviana, you can go, too.
Oh, okay.
So, Frank, you go first.
Me? Okay, well, let me think. First of all, we got to hang out a lot this year. We actually met in person this year.
Yes.
So, we got my two trips down to Washington, D.C. in both April and October were just fantastic. Lauren and I had a great time in April, because that actually kicked off it hasn't ended yet, but that kicked off what we called honeymoon summer, because we didn't have a honeymoon last year when we got married. So we're still trying to piece together little getaways until we accumulate 2 weeks of a honeymoon.
Aww.
And that was, you know, a little weekend with new friends and in a historic city. And we got to go to some museums, and it was nice. And it was really great at the March. And then, of course was May. May was when we started this show. And I think about three episodes into the show, or whatever the hell it was, or maybe did we start in April or May?
We started in May.
Well, May, I remember taking an episode off and going to Maine with Lauren, and that Maine was so great. So I'm happy for Maine, and I'm happy for all the road trips that I did this year. And I know there's a lot more. I had a lot of fun with the band playing, and the show has been growing, and I achieved some kind of level of independence with my self-employment status this year that I have not been able to taste in my entire life. And it just felt like a very I got a lot of personal validation this year. And I thanked myself for not stopping when I had all the reason in the world to stop for many years. So that was it. And so I'm grateful for my friends, and I'm grateful for the just – everything. It's been good.
It's been a good year, full of ups and downs, for sure. You go, Viv. What has happened in 2018 that has been a highlight for you?
Well, obviously, Helga was really cool to see all the people that like love the character, I guess you could say, in air quotes. That was really cool because I had never done something that got so much attention from that kind of thing. So that was really cool because everybody really loved it and I didn't really see any hate from it, which was good.
Yeah, everybody was really nice about it.
Yeah, because you know how like people can be these days.
Yeah, so, I do.
especially you, Mom. So that was really cool. I didn't really do much that was an achievement this year, really.
You had your singing. That was a huge achievement.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But I didn't, like, do something really big with it.
You surfed?
Like, I didn't. Oh, I surfed, yeah. I did surf, and I got a rash on my knee from that.
We had a good year this year.
Yeah.
I never surfed. I want to surf.
Well, when we got stranded out from the hurricane, we ended up, like, kind of, like, hotel hopping around. Mm-hmm. And we went to this one hotel that had one of those surf machines.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And she took a ride on that.
I tried that.
Yeah.
Kind of sort of taught my brother how to swim.
Yeah.
A little bit, which was mostly you, but whatever.
You helped a lot.
Helga would probably be my biggest achievement, so yeah.
Helga was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Helga was a lot of fun. And, like, the first time I did it, we were in the pool at the hotel.
No, we were at Gigi's house.
We were?
Yeah.
I felt like we were in the...
It was born on that hurricane trip, which was a very interesting experience for our family.
Yeah, it was very hectic.
It's the genesis story of Helga.
So, yeah.
Yeah, let me tell that story.
Just make it quick because we're running over now.
So we were in the pool and I brought out my Russian accent and my mom was like, you should do this. Like, it's super funny. And so I brought out the vodka jokes and the goat jokes and the bear jokes. And so my mom, when we got back from like the pool, we went in my room and we went live and we did Helga. And before that, I changed my background on my computer to be like Russian backgrounds. And I looked up some goat pictures with Donald Trump, found one, he was feeding my goat. And so that's how that joke became a thing. And then it blew up overnight, which
it got about 8,000 views on Twitter,
which is a lot. And that's how Helga was born.
And then, you know, the family kind of ran with it because honestly, it was funny. It was funny.
Yeah. We showed my grandpa and my grandma, and then my grandma made me a sign that said Helga 2020.
And the world has been better for it. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
I had a crazy year. I just every morning wake up, Frank, and I know you feel the same way too, and think about how blessed I am. And you know, this is hard and we're going through some crazy times right now in the world, but I really do have tons of optimism that the people that are taking this journey with us will band together, and we will not stop until we affect some change. And two of the things that were highlights for me this year were, like you said, Operation Justice in April, and then the walkaway march that I organized with Brandon in October. And only because the watching and seeing the passion and getting to know people who care so much about the truth and justice and what we're doing here and trying to kind of right the ship here with information and take the culture back. Also the American Priority Conference. So the events that I went to this year were great. And just seeing the quality and caliber of the people taking this journey with us is so fantastic. And I consistently am in awe of the fact that me and you are even sitting here talking to the number of people that we're talking to right now.
I
love it. I mean, I think it's amazing. And I thank everybody. Like, I'm humbled by it. I am blessed. I take it very seriously. And I know that 2019 is going to be a hell of a year. And I'm so excited for it.
Oh, yeah. I want to break all kinds of records. Personal records, first and foremost. Like, we got it. I can't wait. No, I'm not even going to put it out. Maybe I should put the number out there. As far as what I want, as far as downloads per episode, I'm just going to put it out into the universe. I know what I want.
For you?
No, for...
For us?
Yeah, period.
What do you want?
Oh, well, the first thing we have to do is I want to hit 100,000 downloads an episode.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we're not supposed to really talk about that.
Well, it's just a goal. It's a goal. I'm just putting a goal out there.
We're pretty, true.
You know, we're climbing the ladder. We're getting there, and I think it's in reach, and I think we can do it. And that's what I want to do in 2019.
I agree with you. I think that's a good goal.
And I don't care what the hell. And you know, that's not to say in competition with anybody. It's just for us. We should have some goals to strive toward.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing too, we were talking about maybe adding another show in there.
Yeah, we'll see. I think that would be great to have like maybe a Tuesday episode and a Friday episode or maybe a Tuesday and a Friday. I don't know what the hell, but something right before a weekend and something right after a weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there's so much happening, and then taking on guests. That's the other one.
Yep.
Besides Helga.
Well, maybe that's what the second episode in the week could be. It could be partially occupied. Maybe half of it can be spent with a guest, and the other thing could be light headlines. And then, of course, the Friday will always be the end of the week review.
Yeah, that's we got things coming. Things are brewing.
But the market will tell us what they want.
Okay? Yeah, if they like us, then they'll listen, right?
Exactly. So we'll do some testing, and if they embrace it, then we'll know.
I think that's a great idea.
But other than that, Merry Christmas once again to everybody and Happy New Year. And I can't wait to come on back and do this again next Friday.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Dark Delight Podcast with Helga.
Oh, shit. The heat miser, frankly.
I'm beamed. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com. See you in 2019.
This is a Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
I'll say this. If we have blowouts in the semifinal games, and I'm going to get to those here in a second, and we have Georgia blown out Texas, you know what the narrative is going to be. It's going to be, hey, you got the wrong teams in. Particularly, let's forget about Notre Dame. If Alabama decisively beats Oklahoma and Georgia decisively beats Texas, we've already seen Georgia and Alabama. We know that Georgia can hang with Alabama. If Oklahoma cannot do so, you know what the narrative is going to be. Yeah, you put four teams in, but you didn't pick the four best. You picked the four most deserving. You aligned it the way you wanted to politically, but you didn't pick the four best teams. You know that's what the narrative is going to be. Whether you agree with it or not, that's what people are going to say if that happens.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and, of course, RadioInfluence.com.